Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
We're in a series here on Wednesday evenings on the release of the Spirit. Is anybody feeling some release? They feel like they're getting free. Breaking out of the shell of the outer man. Breaking out, not allowing your body to dominate you anymore. Not being held back, not being held in. There's so much of God, so much good, so much greatness is on the inside of the born-again child of God. And we just can't allow it to be suppressed and held down. It's got to come forth. It's got to come forth. And so that's what this series is all about. It's helping us to release the new creation that is inside these bodies, to release that new man that was created in the image and likeness of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, and cause him to be able to think through our thoughts, speak through our lips, and dominate our bodies. And as we talked about last time, Jesus said over in John 6, in verse 63, he said that it's the Spirit that gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. The flesh profits nothing. Like we said, Jesus doesn't exaggerate. And so, and he says it profits nothing, it profits nothing. That is the flesh operating independently of the Spirit. And like we talked about, God made our bodies just awesome. He caused our brains to just be incredible. And so because our bodies are just so amazingly made, created by God, it can do a lot of things on its own, even though it's not supposed to. Even though it's not supposed to. Our body is so technologically advanced. Our brains are so technologically advanced, a lot like vehicles today, whether it's cars or even planes. I mean, my brother has a plane, and he goes up in that plane, and you can, you know, the pilot can just put it on cruise control, you know, set his course, and that thing could take him all the way to where he wants to go. It's an amazing thing that the pilot, he could be sleeping, not that he should be, but he could be sleeping while this plane is just traveling at hundreds of miles per hour over state after state after state, and just keep going and navigate itself because of, you know, just being able to program into it your destination. So the human body is even more advanced than an aircraft. It's more advanced than any vehicle that any man can create. God created these bodies. And so you could hit the thing on cruise control. The Spirit could hit it on cruise control, and it'll run around, and it'll think on its own, and it'll say, you know, I believe we should do this now, and I believe we should do this now. But we're not to allow the body to do that. We have to stay awake, stay alert, and use our bodies to do the will of God. Our spirits are interested in doing the will of God. Our bodies are not. Our bodies are going to do what seems like the smart thing to do, the logical thing to do, but not the spiritual thing to do, not necessarily the God thing to do. So that's why we have to stay awake behind the wheel, and we have to make sure that these bodies are doing what we want it to do. And so therefore, our spirit is rising up, thinking through the thoughts, controlling the thoughts, controlling the brain, controlling what's coming out of the mouth, controlling our actions. We're taking control by the help of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. So the body doing things independently of the flesh profits nothing. It's the Spirit that gives life. Yes, the Spirit of God, but also your human spirit is what gives life, because your human spirit now is alive with the life of God. And when your human spirit is able to rise up and touch people through your body, through the words you speak, through your actions, when your human spirit is released through your actions, God is released, because you and God are one spirit together. So when your spirit is released, people can experience the love of God. They can experience the wisdom of God. They can experience the strength of God. They can experience the help of God. That's supernatural help. And that's what we want to see flowing out of our life. That's what we're living for. We're living for God, His life in us to be manifested in this world. And that's called the glory of God. We want to see the glory of God. Jesus stood there by Lazarus' tomb, and everybody was weeping and crying, and Mary was standing there, Martha, and Jesus turned to Martha, and he said, "Did I not say that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? You would see the glory of God." It's still the same way today. If you would believe, if you would believe. In other words, if you would live your life according to the faith of God that's in your heart and not by the reasonings of your mind. Now, again, the mind will help us. It'll think things through for us. It's very logical, and we need that. But it needs to be governed by the wisdom of the Spirit. Okay? It needs to be governed by the wisdom of the Spirit. So that's why we have to control our thoughts. And we have to be led by the faith of God that is in us. So we're not throwing away our minds. We're not saying our brains are no good. Our bodies are no good. All these things are evil. None of these things are good. No, that's not what we're saying. These things, it's great. It's a wonderful thing. It's an amazing work of God. But it needs to be controlled by what you believe in your heart. Your thinking, your reasoning needs to be controlled by what you believe in your heart. So we still think, we still reason, we still do our math, we calculate, we count the costs concerning things and stuff. But ultimately, we're going to be led by the faith of God that is in us. And we're going to, the faith of God is going to use the reasonings of the mind to be able to calculate and to help us to accomplish what we believe in our heart. And following the believing of your heart is following your convictions. The voice of your spirit is conviction. The voice of your mind is reasoning. And so your reasonings will tell you one thing and say, well, that's logical, that seems right, but then you got to sink down and follow the conviction of your heart. And sometimes your mind will tell you this is the way to do it, this is the way it needs to happen, and you'll think, well, that's logical, that's good, and you begin to walk that out. All the while you're a spirit being, you're listening to your heart where the Spirit of God dwells, you're following that inner conviction on the inside of you. And if the inner conviction says, no, don't do that, don't do it that way, this is what you need to do, then you pull back from that, no matter how logical it's and right it seems to the mind. We're going to follow our heart. So we're going to be led by our spirit, which is walking by faith. We walk by faith. We're following our believer. And as we believe, we will see the glory of God. God will be more manifested through our lives in this world. And that's just to become normal. God manifesting through us is to be normal. That's not something that's to be foreign. That's not something to be weird. You know, there's people that get freaked out. God just manifests a little bit. They get all freaked out. And I'm talking about church people. They get all freaked out. God manifests. What's going on here? This is strange. I've never seen this before. We never did this before. Well, there's a lot of things we haven't seen. I said there's a lot of things we haven't seen. God's a big God. There's a lot to still be seen. There's a lot still to be experienced. Right? So we need to be expecting more, expecting greater. We should be seeing the supernatural ability of God on a regular basis flowing out of our life to the point where it's normal. It doesn't become common to us where we're not excited about and thankful for it. We're always in awe of God. Come on, we can look over at a flower and go, wow. Huh? We can look at a nice sunset and say, oh God. Right? I mean, we're always thankful, but we're not like amazed that the sun is setting. Can you believe this? The sun's going down. And we're not marveling, right? We're not just marveling and looking at the sunset going, oh, the sun is going down. We're not doing that, but we can go, oh, wow, that is beautiful. God is awesome. See? And so that's how the supernatural should be in our life. It should just be like, wow, God, but not like, wow, I can't believe this is happening. As long as you're in the I can't believe it's happening, a lot of things will not be happening. They might start to happen, then they'll stop happening because you're not believing unless you believe, right? He says, if you believe, you'll see the manifested awesomeness of the Almighty. You'll see that glory of God. So that's what we want to see. Now, in the world, it's normal for the flesh to just be doing its own thing. People just operating out of their reasonings, out of their feelings. If it feels right, do it. And they're just following the flesh. And they're not living profitable lives before God. Their works aren't going to produce anything profitable in eternity. And again, we're living with eternity in mind. We're not just living for this short time down here. We're eternal beings. We've already, coming to Jesus, we've already passed from death to life. So it's all life from here. We're not going to die. What we're going to do one day is just going to peel this thing off. And say, thank you, I'll be back to pick you up later. But right now, I'm going to fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. Right? And we're just going to fly away. And then we'll come back and pick these bodies up. Even God will get that all straightened out too, praise God. And we'll get glorified bodies. Hallelujah. But it's normal for the world, for the body to be doing its own thing. So that has become normal to us in this world. And that's why we have to renew our mind to these things that we're hearing tonight. We got to renew our mind and realize, no, that's not normal. We're not going to allow that to be the way it's going to be anymore in my life. I'm going to be spirit-led. I'm going to think with my spirit. I'm going to follow the convictions of my heart. I'm always going to be listening for God in every decision I make. You know, there's an illustration of this in the book of Acts where the apostle Paul, you know, God has sent him out to go on the missionary field as an apostle and do certain works. And so he was just going and he was flowing and he was just doing what God had called him to do. And there was a lot of things that God didn't tell him all the specifics of what he needed to do. God didn't say, now you have to turn here and go around here in order to get to this city. Now what you need to do is you need to get yourself a boat and you need to take a boat. He didn't need God to tell him every detail. Why? Because God gave him a very sophisticated brain that can reason and think. So he was using his brain to follow his heart. So he knew what the mission was. He knew what he was called to do. But then he would use his brain to be able to figure out what was the best route to take, what city should we go to this month, what churches should we go visit, where should we pioneer the next church, and he would reason these things out, and he would just go. He would just go. But then over there in the book of Acts, you see where he was going, and he tried to go to one place, and he said the Spirit forbade him. He was forbidden to go there. And then he tried to go somewhere else, and the Spirit forbade him from going there. See? And he was getting a conviction. Doesn't necessarily mean God was speaking to him or the Holy Spirit jumped out in front of him and said, no, no, no. He was listening to his heart. So here he is. He's going along. He's using his brain. He's being logical, where to go, what to do. He's planning, plotting his course, so forth and so on. But then as he's going, he's doing things here and there, and he makes a turn here. And he recognized, we can't do that. That's going against the conviction of my heart. That's going against the conviction of my heart. And, you know, we want to be sensitive. Even in the littlest things, if we obey our convictions, we will become more and more sensitive. We can become hypersensitive to the Spirit. We can become hypersensitive. But on the other side of that, we can become very dull and callous to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We can become dull and callous by ignoring it. Spirit of God convicts us. Don't do that. That's not right. Don't say that. Don't act that way. You acted a certain way. Spirit of God convicted you about it. What should you do? If he convicted you about something you did, showing you this was wrong, what should you do? Ignore it and act like, no, there's nothing wrong with that. And press right on through it. No, if you press right on through it and push it off, what have you just done? You've just dulled yourself to your spirit. You've just said to yourself, you've communicated to your mind, you don't have to listen to that. We don't have to pay attention to that. So instead of renewing your mind to think in line with the Spirit, you've just helped your mind to continue to think independently of the Spirit. So that's right, we don't listen to that. So that's why if you get a conviction, you repent. I don't care how little, how trivial it might seem. It could be over eating that little piece of chocolate. Could be. Over the littlest thing. If you feel a conviction, oh, Lord, forgive me. You don't sit there and, well, it wasn't a big deal. Well, to your mind, it might not be a big deal. Your mind might reason with it and look at it and go, that was not a big deal. Come on. People do that all the time. I've been doing that. I mean, that's not a big deal. You can reason with it like that, and the mind will tell you it's not a big deal. But you got to say, no, I might not understand it with my head, but I know my heart said, stop it. Wrong. So every time you acknowledge the conviction of your heart, you're communicating to your mind and thus renewing your mind that this is what you follow. This is what you listen for. And we don't do anything independent of this right here. So what begins to happen is you become very, very, very sensitive to your spirit. And it becomes very easy to just cruise through life. We're cruising through life. We're following our spirit. I love there. You know, you see in Paul's writings, he's riding along and he says things like, now I, not the Lord, say this. Now remember, the Word of God is written by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, right? So he's getting stuff. A lot of what he's writing is prophetic. It's all prophecy. It's the prophetic word. He's writing all these things down. He's getting revelation. And the Spirit of God's giving instructions to the church on what they should do and what they shouldn't do and how they should do things. And so he's writing all this down, and it's God's word. And then all of a sudden he'll come along and he'll say something like, now I, not the Lord, say. And then he'll turn around and say, now the Lord commands. Not I, but the Lord now is commanding this. And in one place he said, now I, not the Lord, say this, but I'm one whom the Lord has trusted. So in other words, you should listen to me. Now it's not, this isn't directly from the Lord, this is from me. Now all this is coming out of his spirit, but he's recognizing this is me, this is not the Lord. It's like that time I was asking the Lord about something, and I felt like I needed to know about something. And then this thought came to me, but it was a strong thought on the inside of me. It wasn't reasoning. It wasn't I didn't reason this. This didn't come through the voice of reasoning. This was a very direct, authoritative statement that I did not know up here. I was not I'm thinking, Lord, I need to know about this. I need to know about this. And this very direct, authoritative, no-nonsense statement comes to my mind. And it was, do what you know to do, and you'll know what you need to know. Now, see, that's too good for me. I couldn't have thought of that. That was not my reason. I didn't think of that. It was a thought. It wasn't an audible voice. Do what you know to do. We all have thoughts, right? We all have thoughts. Thoughts come. We have ideas. We have thoughts about things. But this didn't come out of the reasonings. You knew it came from God. He spoke that to me. Do what you know to do, and you'll know what you need to know. And that no sooner flowed right up out of me, I said these words, when you need to know it. I finished it for him. I finished it for the Lord. I knew that was the next part of that. But I had gotten it. You see what I'm saying? It was something that I thought. So this thought came. Do what you know to do. Do what you know to do, and you'll know what you need to know. And I said, when you need to know it. So the Lord said the first part. I said the when you need to know it part. See, and that's how we need to be able to discern what's me, what's the Lord. And one way you know it's his thoughts is because the Bible says his thoughts are above our thoughts. His thoughts are above our thoughts. And so a lot of times you'll have a thought just like that. That was too good for me. I didn't come up with that one. And it was a thought that was above your thought. Well, if God's thoughts are above our thoughts, you look and go, that's above me. I know that's a God thought right there. See, so there's thoughts which are come in the form of words to your mind, right? Or you might have a picture in your mind. That's another thing too. We got an imagination, right? We could use our imagination and we can live in fantasy land and we can see all kinds, imagine all kinds of things. Imagine, you know, we did the renovation out here, phase two. I was imagining like crazy, man. I was just imagining, picturing where the room should go and what we need to have and how it should be laid out. And I'd write it down on paper. But, you know, you use your imagination and in your imagination you see pictures. You have pictures. Well, the Lord, he'll speak to you through your imagination, and he'll cause you to see something. He'll cause you to see something. And there's been times, I'll just all of a sudden, just as fast as a flashbulb would go off. Poof. You'll see maybe a person's face. It just came out of nowhere. You weren't thinking about them. Just boom, there's their face. And I've had times where also I'd see someone's face, and it's a sad face. You just see in that little flash, you know, they're not happy. And you don't know what it is. You know, the Lord's big on privacy. He respects people's privacy. So he's not going to tell everybody everything about everybody. He's not going to sit here and tell me everything about you. But he might give me a flash and show me so-and-so's going through something. You could see it on their face. And so, you know, then you just know, you just lift them up and pray for them. Just say, Father, thank you for so-and-so. But that's the Lord talking to you. That's him talking. That's him directing you. And you respond to that. How many people know what I'm talking about? Have you ever just had that also a flash and you see somebody? And I've seen not just sad faces. I've seen happy faces. I've seen faces, no expression whatsoever. And I don't know what it all means. But we'll just pray. We'll just pray and just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and conviction on how to pray about them. But God's bringing them to my attention for a reason. Paul the Apostle said, he said that I pray for you upon every remembrance of you. You know, sometimes you can just be coming along and just out of nowhere, you just think of somebody. You just remember them, right? Don't brush that off. There's a reason. Where did that come from? Why are you remembering them? Lift them up. And sometimes it's just a matter of saying, Father, I thank you for them. I just thank you for them. And because by saying, Father, I thank you for brother so-and-so, I thank you for sister so-and-so, you are releasing your faith. And when you're releasing your faith, you're releasing the Spirit. You're releasing your Spirit, thus releasing the Spirit of God. And when you release the Spirit of God, things happen. People get affected. People experience God's presence. It releases the grace, the ability of God into people's lives. So don't feel like, I don't have time for all this praying. Sometimes if you just speak the person's name, thank you for so-and-so, Lord. And then have confidence, so you are speaking according to your Spirit, because you didn't get that in the flesh. You got that by the Spirit, and you spoke it out, and man, the power of God was released in that. The Spirit went out and is touching them and doing something. And sometimes you just know, you know, just all of a sudden out of nowhere, you just, boom, there's God, you know. You just feel his presence, you feel strength, you feel a refreshing, something just hits you, and you wonder, did somebody just do something? Did somebody just say my name? Did somebody just release their faith for me and believe God for me? Huh? It's a wonderful thing. So we can help each other. That's how we can help each other all the time. We don't have to always be seeing each other, talking to each other in the natural, but we can be helping each other like this all the time. I think people don't understand that. They take it lightly. They feel like they got to get on their knees. They got to isolate themselves. They got to get into this big ceremonial thing in order to really accomplish something in prayer for somebody's life. But it's not the way it is. The Spirit gives life. Even a little bit of the Spirit gives life. Huh? Just a little dab of the Spirit. Just a little dab. I'll take a dab. I mean, a dad can go a long way. It's high octane. It's powerful. Come on. Just one word. Come on. God said, let there be, and look at what he did. So because I think we make a big deal out of it, a bigger deal out of it than we need to, we get overwhelmed and we do nothing. We don't say anything. We don't do anything because we don't feel like it's big enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. You don't have to do much to make a big splash in this world, in people's lives. And you got to know that by faith. You got to know God is powerful. I said, God is powerful. He's in you. My Bible says greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So, I mean, the Bible says the weakness of God is stronger than the strength of man. I mean, the strongest arm of flesh that's out there is nothing to the weakness of God. The weakness of God, the smallest, just a little dab of God, is greater than the strongest that man has to offer. That's what you have in you. Get excited about what's on the inside of you. Greater is he that's in you. And so don't be overwhelmed and feel like you have to be this super spiritual, but you have to be somewhere in a certain atmosphere. Ian's got to be up there on the keyboard. Something's got to be going on. You know, it's got to feel spiritual. No, just believe. See, it needs to become a normal part of our life. And we upon every remembrance of you, I thank God for you. How many would you like Paul the Apostle just to thank God for you? You know? Just he thinks of you and he thanks God for you. Say, yeah, please, thank you. Why? Because you know something great can happen. Well, it's the same thing with you. Same God's in you that's in them. It's in him. Same God. And it's by that life, power, strength of God that's in us that we're going to accomplish things. It's not a work of the flesh. Again, that's the work of the flesh. We have to try to really, let's whip this thing up. Try to really get spiritual, really try to accomplish something here. And all it is just, you're just whipping up the flesh, and the flesh profits nothing. Stop it. Just speak out of your spirit. Speak your faith. Just like you've been speaking your mind a lot. I'm sorry, I didn't direct that at anybody in particular. Speak your faith. The flesh profits nothing. The spirit gives life. So, there's that conviction. Just a knowing. You know. You know to do or not to do. You know it was wrong. You know it was right. You got a conviction. It's a conviction. Then there's thoughts, which is the form of words, statements that can come to your mind. Then there are pictures, and you can see and know things. You can see things, and we need to be open to more of that, seeing and knowing. We see things, and we know things. Just, we see something, and we know what it means. We know what we're supposed to do. Man, I know all the details about it. We know it's God. We know it's God showing us something. We're going to do it. I mean, when it came to, again, building this building, getting out on this property, we were had a couple designs. We had met with architects, and we had sat down and we had designed, you know, some buildings, and that, you know, went through that process a couple times, and every time we had begin to move towards getting the building out here on this property, it just would fall flat. It was too big. It was overwhelming to where we were at. We couldn't accomplish it, and so finally one day we sat down in prayer. We were praying in the old sanctuary at this behind this gun shop in this rented building. And we were just sitting there. And as I was sitting there, I saw a rectangular building. Just a plain rectangular metal building. Now, I'm not saying I had a vision. I was caught up in a trance. Thank God that can happen. It's thoroughly scriptural. You can have visions, and you can go to another level where you're hearing God audibly. Bible says that, I think it was the prophet Isaiah said, you'll hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And you turn around, you know, and you think somebody's there. So it's that real to you, you know. That's how the prophets, many times, they would hear, and they would say, thus saith the Lord. And a lot of times they were hearing ahead of time what the Lord was saying. I mean, audibly hearing God, or in vision, seeing God. Now, that isn't as common as the conviction. You might go your whole life and never have an experience like that. But you still could be led by the Spirit of God by following that inner conviction, being open to those seeing and knowings, and listening to God's thoughts come to your mind. And so this wasn't some kind of big vision or anything. I just closed my eyes, and in the same place where we have our imagination, out of that place, I saw a rectangular metal building. And that was it, just poof. I said, that's it. That's it. I said, that's what we're doing. And I had people say, that's not good enough. That doesn't look good enough. That you need to have a this, you need to have a this. I said, it's going to be a rectangular building. That's it. And I said, anything's better than sitting behind the gun shop. Let's just get out on that property. You know, let's stop complaining. Well, if we're going to have a building, we need to have a gymnasium. We need to have a full kitchen. We need to have all these. I said, it's going to be a square building, and it might not have anything in it except electricity and HVAC. All I care about is building a rectangular, boring-looking building. And you know what? We started moving forward with that. And then as we did, we put some windows in it. We had a carport. And next thing you know, if you take the carport and the windows away, you've got a rectangular metal building. That first part, you know, because it was built in two phases. But as we did, see, and now it wasn't overwhelming. We were able to do that. And then we were able to add little details to it. And in a very short period of time, then we built, right after we got that built, we immediately started plans to build this building. So, but that was that seeing and knowing. That seeing and knowing. So we need to be open to those kind of things. Be listening for the Spirit of God, looking for God in these areas, and be led by Him. And again, we're not throwing away our minds, but we're using our minds to assist us in accomplishing not what the mind wants, but what God wants, what our hearts want. We want to satisfy our heart, not our heads. We're living to satisfy our heart. And really, the truth of the matter is, if you satisfy your heart, you'll satisfy the heart of God. Because your heart, spirit, is one spirit with the Lord. Your heart and your spirit and His spirit are one now. So we're one together on the inside. So if you like it in the spirit, God likes it. If you desire it in the spirit, God desires it. Amen. Speaking of desires, I remember I was in that same gun shop, sitting in the same chair. In that time of prayer, I had sat down, and I just, before everybody else got there, I just started worshiping, thanking God. I said, God, you've been so good to me. I feel so full, so happy. I said, Lord, I wouldn't even know what to ask you for, you know, personally. Yeah, I wouldn't even know what to personally ask you for. I just feel like I have everything, because it doesn't take much to make me happy, you know. And according to the flesh. And so I said, I wouldn't even know what to ask you for. And immediately this thought, these words came into my thoughts. Very, very authoritative, very clear. How about a boat? Just like that. How about a boat?
I never thought of that.
You know, when I was in New York, I had a boat. I used to like to go out on the boat. But those days were gone forever. I wasn't thinking about a boat. That wasn't on my mind. But God said, how about a boat? And I said, yeah. Sure. I said, Lord, I believe I receive a boat right now in Jesus' name. By faith, I receive a boat right now. Remember, He said in Mark 11:24, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Whatever things you desire, whatever you desire. I didn't even know that desire was there. I didn't even know it was there. Yeah, but the Lord knew. Isn't that amazing? You just never think that would ever originate from God. You just think He would not care about a boat. Right? What does He care about a boat? He's thinking spiritual. Well, no, He created this natural world, and he created all the nice things in this world for somebody to enjoy it, and it isn't the devil and his bunch, even though they're enjoying most of it currently. He said, how about a boat? So I believed him for a boat. He didn't say anything more about it. He didn't tell me where to go, what boat, or anything like that. I've got a brain. I've got a brain. So now I begin to use my brain. And I began, I mean, one day I thought, well, you know what? I need to do something. I need to go look. I need to look at boats. See what boat I want. I'm not sure. So we went, looked around, stuff like that, and nothing. Nothing was happening. So everything was just too expensive. I wasn't into it. And then there was a boat show over here at the fairgrounds. There was a boat show over here at the fairgrounds. And so I said, well, let's go over there. So my brother and I, we went over there. We start walking around looking at boats. And it's a long story. I won't get into the whole thing and bore you. But it was an amazing thing. Figuring out. And I thought, you know what? I think we could do this. It was a little boat. I thought, we can do this. And so it was like the last night or the second to last night of the boat show. I think it was actually the last night. And so we're looking at this boat. I'm thinking I'm going to get it. But we're walking away. And we pass by the Sea Ray boats. And anyway, the sales guy's in there. And they're desperate to sell a boat. I mean, they're just this whole thing is just about over. They haven't sold really any boats. And they want to sell a boat. Of course, I didn't know that. So anyway, I walked past them and start looking at the boat. Hey, you like this boat? I said, yeah, it's a nice boat. We start talking about everything else. It tells you the price. It was a little expensive. So then they came down in the price. And I said, no, I'm still interested in this other boat over here we were just looking at. And he said, Well, we can do this, that, and the next thing. And so no. And he was trying to do everything he can to sell that boat to us. So now we're getting ready to walk away. As we're walking away, we see a bigger boat, a much bigger boat. And we just sat in it. We like looking at the boat, it's very nice. And he comes walking over, he goes, you like this boat? I said, yeah. He said, how about if I sell you this boat for the price of that boat? I said, wow. So we started talking about that a little bit, and I said, oh, but wait a second. It's a bigger boat. What size engine? It's the same engine that's in that boat? He said, yeah. I said, oh, it's going to go slower because it's a bigger boat. It weighs more. You know, tough to water ski and things like that. He said, well, there's an upgraded engine for this boat. You know, you can go up to an upgraded engine. I said, oh, really? I said, now you're totally, again, you're out of my price range. He said, what if I say you this boat for the price of that boat with the upgraded engine? My brother said, you got to do that. That is a huge upgrade. I mean, it's amazing. So then, you know, then I got real, you know, and it was just God. I wasn't trying to pick this guy apart. It was just this natural flow. It was like I was in a fog. And I'm just walking through this thing. I'm like, does this thing have a depth finder? No, that's extra. I said, oh, I really wanted a depth finder. He said, I'll throw in a depth finder. I said, thank you. I said, what about those bimini tops? That other boat over there had a bimini top. He said, I'll throw in the bimini top. And this is the manager guy. He's like, I can't believe I'm doing this. And so, anyway, he's getting all the paperwork out and getting it all. And the salesman who we originally started with, he's over there. He goes, I'm shaking. He said, I've never seen anything like this. I mean, God was in the process. He got me that boat. Hallelujah. But that's just being led. But he'll give you the desires of your heart because your heart and his heart are one together. And he'll lead us and guide us through the littlest things in life. And we don't want to follow the desires of our flesh. Because the flesh, if left to itself, it'll never be happy. It'll never be satisfied. It'll be covetous. It'll want everything it can get. It'll still never be satisfied. And it'll just drive you and drive you and drive you on in life. So we want to possess things that are the desire of our heart. And you think, well, the natural things, the desire of our heart? Yeah. Because they're God's desire for us. And happy to know there's nobody more spiritual than God. And God created all things. So things can be spiritual then. Right? Absolutely. All things came from God, who is spiritual. So it's not like, oh, that's not spirit. Boats and houses, and they're not spiritual. Then why did you make them? Why did you create all these things? Why did you give man abilities and ideas to build these things? Because it's God's things, which means it's spiritual. As long as things are being done in the Spirit, by the Spirit, for the purpose of the Spirit, so that the Spirit can express itself through it. See, possessions are just things we're to possess. Our spirit is to possess them. Our spirit is to take hold of things to be able to express enjoyment through, to express itself through. So we're expressing ourselves through natural things. If we didn't have this building and the conveniences that we have here tonight, it'd be tough for me to express what God's put in my heart, right? And you're expressing your faith and your hunger and your thankfulness and all these things. See, we're, this place, these seats, these come allowing us to express the Spirit. So we possess things not to gratify the flesh, because you never will, but to satisfy the Spirit, to express the Spirit. And when we're possessing things and doing things by the Spirit for the purpose of the Spirit, even though that it looks very natural, it's very spiritual. It's very spiritual. See, the carnal mind is the mind that is set on natural things apart from God. It sets its mind on the things of the earth. That's what it set its mind on. That's a carnal mind. We're not to be carnally minded. That doesn't mean we're not to use our minds or our mind is a bad thing. We are to use our minds, what? To accomplish the purpose of the Spirit. So we're taking things and we're enjoying things and we're going places and all these natural things are going on and it's all very spiritual. You don't have to be on your knees. You don't have to be in a monastery. And this is why people are in monasteries with hoods over their head humming. Why? Because that's spiritual to them. They think in order to be spiritual, we have to do this. We have to shave our mustaches, not our beards, wear suspenders, live over here in a community, isolate ourselves from the rest of the world. That's spiritual. Don't drive automobiles. That's worldly. But then some groups say you can have an automobile, but you can't have chrome bumpers. This is true. This is absolutely true. Religion is nuts. Religion is absolutely nuts. They're trying to be spiritual, and they think the natural things of this world is beneath them. No, it's for their spirit to live and express itself through the natural things. We got to express ourselves through the natural. Don't throw out the natural things. Don't hide from the natural things. Don't curse the natural things. Money and things of themselves are neither good or evil. It's who possesses them. If a person possessed with the devil possesses the possessions, then the possessions become an evil thing, an expression of evil. But when people full of the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, possess things, then those things become an expression of God. They become an expression of righteousness. They become an expression of love. Come on, of goodness, mercy. Hallelujah. And as we express our spirit, we will live a satisfied life. How many want to live a satisfied life? We don't want to live a carnal life. What's that? That's a life that just is earthly minded, naturally minded. There's no satisfaction in that. You know, over here in Proverbs 30 and in verse 14. It says, there is a generation whose teeth are like swords and whose fangs are like knives to devour the poor from the earth and the needy from among men. Do we have any needy in here tonight? No. Thank God we're not walking around needy. Needy, needy. The flesh can be very needy. You and I are very full. Huh? Content with such things we have, right? That doesn't mean we're not going to possess more, but we're content. We're not possessing because we're so miserable with where we are. We're very happy where we are and the way to where we're going. Amen? We're going to keep moving forward because that's God's will for us to possess the land, to take territory, to increase and expand ourselves so that we can expand his kingdom, expand his righteousness in the earth. But there's people, they're like, their mouths are like knives, their fangs, they got fangs, and they just devour. It's the flesh. The flesh, take, take, get. And they'll devour the poor and the needy. So they can't devour us because we're not needy. Something to think about. Verse 15. The leech has two daughters crying, give, give. The leech has two daughters. Another translation says the leech has two daughters named Give and Give. Give and give. You know what a leech is, right? It sucks. It'll get on you. It'll suck the blood out of you. Just keep sucking. Do we have any suckers in the house tonight? Huh? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:45, it says, so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. A living being, another translation says a living soul. Or a living personality. Adam was a living soul. He was a soul man. Not a spirit man. He was a spirit, but he wasn't spiritual. He was soul. He was a soul man. He became very carnal. How many of you know he became very carnal? He minded the things of the earth. He was a living soul. But the last Adam, talking about Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. A life-giving spirit. Now, the soul is just going to be a life sucker. It's going to be like the leech. The soul man, the carnal man, the fleshy man. It's going to be, give me, give me, give me, give me. And just sucks everything good out of the relationship. Just sucks everything good out of people and things. And it's never satisfying. It just devours. It just keeps, give me, give me, give me. And that's the soul man. That's the carnal man. That's the flesh. It's a life sucker. Suck the life out of everything. Just keep taking it. But the second man, Adam, became a life-giving spirit. Woo, hallelujah. And that's what you and I ought to be. Grow up out of this carnal, soully, mental, fleshly dominated place and grow up in the spirit, grow up in our faith and be life givers. It's the spirit that gives life. Life-giving spirits. I want to be a life-giving spirit, not a life-sucking soul. And that's what you have in the world today. You got life-sucking souls and you got life-giving spirits. And you got a purpose to be a life-giving spirit and to rise up and dominate that flesh. Otherwise, if you just sit back and go to sleep in the back seat of your vehicle, of your flesh, it's gonna suck the life out of everything and ruin everything. Proverbs 27:20 says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Just keeps wanting to look. It keeps wanting to get. You can't satisfy it. You can't satisfy the flesh. I believe the thing. No, notice that. Hell and destruction are never full. Never satisfied. Never says that it's enough. I believe the theme song in hell is I can't get no satisfaction. It's the flesh. I mean, it's the ultimate flesh song right there. The guy's confessing it on stage. I can't get no satisfaction. You know, I'm sure the inspiration for that song, we'll play it for you before you go tonight. I want a rock. I want the rock. I want the rock. I didn't say I want a rock. I want the rock. I want the rock. Not a Rolling Stone. That's who sang the song. I can't get no satisfaction. He probably got that inspiration for that song when he looked around and saw here he was, got millions of dollars, got people screaming at him. He's up there with his guitar. And they're all going, ah, 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 going crazy. They're worshiping him. He's got it all. And he goes home and he's still empty and miserable. And he's thinking, I can't get no satisfaction. That sounds like a song. That's probably where the song came from. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Can we just take a few extra minutes? Ecclesiastes chapter 2. So God anoints Solomon. Tell Solomon whatever you want, I'll give it to you. I'm going to give you wisdom like nobody's ever had before. So Solomon, he's got all this wisdom. All these great things are going on. He's doing all this great stuff. He's building all these great things. And everything's for God. But then all of a sudden, one day, he gets his eyes off God, and he begins to just look at himself and think about himself, and he makes this really brilliant statement. He says in Ecclesiastes 2, he said in verse, I want to get this right. Verse 3, he says, I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh. He says, you know, God's given me all this wisdom, he's given me all this influence, all this power, all this wealth. And it's all to be what? For the glory of God, to express the spirit of God's desires in the world, right? To advance the kingdom of God, raise Israel up as a nation under God. And he says, I'm going to use all this that I have to see how to gratify or satisfy my flesh. I'm going to try to gratify my flesh with wine while guiding my heart with wisdom and how to lay a hold on folly, even stupid stuff, till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. So this man had the wisdom. He had the power to do it, to see how to gratify the flesh, and he went after it. And with all his wisdom, and all that God had given him, he ended up, even though he wrote Proverbs and he was this had all this wisdom, he ended up dying an absolute fool. Empty, miserable, looking around saying, it's all vanity, it's all empty, it's all a waste of time, life is worthless, why should we even live? I mean, look at all that I've done, and I'm still not satisfied. Now, we should learn from him. That should tell us. If Solomon couldn't satisfy his flesh, you will never satisfy yours. That's why you can't be led by it. Because it will drive you. It will drive you and drive you and drive you. He says in verse 10, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works of my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. Watch this. There was no profit under the sun. What did Jesus say in John 6? The flesh profits nothing. All these things he built, and he explains, you go back some verses, you can see it all, water pools and gardens, and he had it all going on. And it profited nothing. In fact, the more he tried to gratify his flesh, the more desperate he became. Because that's exactly what happens. You have to understand that about your flesh. The more you try to satisfy it, the more empty it's going to become. You grab things to try to fill it, and all it does is go away and make you more empty and more desperate for more. So people that are living for the flesh, and they're getting it all, they're getting it all, they're getting all, they're becoming more and more desperate, more and more empty on the inside. And they'll resort to just about any kind of perversion to make themselves happy. And that's what you got. That's what you got going on in the world around you. But in you and I, we're saying, no, flesh, we're not following you. But we are going to possess the land. We are going to possess good things but it's to advance the kingdom of God. It's to express the desires of our heart, not to try to satisfy or gratify something that can't be satisfied, like the flesh. Can you say amen? We want to satisfy our hearts. Hallelujah. And thank God we can. I said, thank God we can. Somebody say, the Lord is good. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand on our feet.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.